Christina Lake Cannabis is using proprietary outdoor genetics to grow and harvest cannabis in Western Canada. And with a 99-acre expansion, production should increase from nearly 72,000 pounds to a harvest capacity of over 194,000 pounds of high-quality, refined cannabis to extract exceptional THC and CBD oils. This cannabis highlight has been brought to you by Christina Lake Cannabis, U.S. trading symbol CLCFF and Canada CLC. ChristinaLakeCannabis.com.
The proceeding may contain forward-looking statements which may not be realized.
This is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Jeff Bliss is Pacific Watch. We go immediately to a story in the Wall Street Journal that connects all of the west of the United States to California and the Pacific Coast. The story is straightforward: fear of drought. States across the West are at risk of electricity shortages this summer as a crippling drought reduces the amount of water available to generate hydroelectric power. Some of the region's largest reservoirs are at historically low levels after a dry winter and spring reduced the amount of snowpack and precipitation feeding rivers and streams. I go immediately to Jeff because there is something called a flex alert in L.A. Jeff, a very good evening to you. Can we connect the low reservoir in California, the low reservoirs in the West, the low reservoirs at the Hoover Dam? Can we connect that to a flex alert in L.A.? And what the heck is a flex alert? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. We can in some parts. I would say one is the disease. That's the drought and the flex alert and the heat wave and all that. That's kind of the symptoms of what's going on, or at least outlying signs of it. So what we do, we have a massive heat wave going through California right now with some record temperatures, especially out in the inland areas where you go out to Palm Springs and it was 123. I think I sent you a photo yesterday from Las Vegas. It was 119. Yeah, Death Valley is looking at perhaps record temperatures today or this weekend. And so what happens is when you have that much heat out here, everybody automatically goes to their AC, their air conditioning. And the grid just cannot take it. So they start going to what they call flex alerts, asking people to cut back on usage, not just in L.A. and Southern California, but throughout the state, in the hopes that they'll be able to, you know, keep brownouts and blackouts from happening, which have been a problem in the past. Right now, it's really not mandated for ordinary users, but, you know, we could be there in the not-too-distant future if we keep getting these heat waves this summer.
So Los Angeles right now is under a flex alert. We go to the north, to the Bay Area. They're talking about 110 in the Bay Area. That's hot, Jeff. Is that hot for the Bay Area? I can't tell.
Indeed. There are parts of the Bay Area where it's known to get that hot on the hottest days in the summer, but really you're talking about an entire region that usually does not get that hot. To be fair, all the temperatures yesterday were really off the board. People never expected them to get that hot. You know, they knew we were going to get some real heat. But yesterday was really, I think, a record breaker in a lot of cases throughout the state. And the people up in the Bay Area typically look to a much cooler type of climate, but they're not feeling it right now.
The Bay Area extends north and south, or are we just talking about San Francisco and Los Angeles, or is it the whole state that's baking?
The Bay Area is primarily the San Francisco, Oakland region, and the areas around the San Francisco Bay. So that's up in Northern California, which is typically cooler than the Los Angeles area in Southern California, about 400 or so miles away to the south. LA is more of an arid desert type climate environment. You go up to San Francisco, of course, it's more marine. You've got the bay right there. But there are just some things even the cool, bay breezes don't help out with.
Yeah, California's shaky power grid. Now, along with the shaky power grid and along with the drought, fire season. Is there anything that can be done, Jeff, or you need to ride this out? You can't control it.
We're going to have to ride it out. There's not much that can be done right now. We've already started to hit the start of the fire season. Just had some within a few miles of my home the other day. You see them up farther up north. They're happening out in the Inland Empire areas here in Southern California. Not big ones yet, but certainly a sign of things to come. They're trying to do what they can by clearing brush, by, you know, getting people to protect their home sites by clearing brush around their homes. And they've even brought in some new equipment. I saw the other day they brought in some big, massive Chinook-style helicopters to do water dropping. But it's going to be hard to beat the drought with just the resources we have on hand. It's going to be a very, very tough fire season.
We have a complete dependency on California agriculture. Complete. The total country depends upon it. This logically, this hits the breadbasket hard. And I recall the drought of 14. I think this is the second year of this drought. The drought of 14 made the ground go down. And urged people, I mean, they mandated people not to pump water. Are we too early in the drought for that, Jeff, or have they gone to that kind of recommendation yet in the breadbasket?
They're already going to that recommendation. You know, there are parts of the breadbasket, the Central Valley and some other key agriculture areas in California. And California is the ag state of all states in the U.S., where they have never been able to come back from those earlier droughts, where they pumped out so much groundwater that you had the ground in the valley subside. And we're not talking just a few feet here and there. We're talking about hundreds of miles of subsidence throughout the valley. And you've had so many wells depleted, and the opportunity for them to replenish has not happened. The fact that they've gotten very little water from the mountain runoff, that's not happened. So it's looking very grim. And this is something, as you pointed out, is not just about California, but it's about the rest of the country, because it not only feeds a great deal of the rest of the country and part of the world, but also the economy is so greatly affected by what goes on in agriculture in California. So, you know, it's one of those things that when we sneeze, everyone else catches a cold.
The Lake Tahoe area said to be especially vulnerable to wildfires, and the recommendation is no campfires. Now, Tahoe, is that another lake that's drying up, Jeff? I mean, another water source that's drying up? Tahoe's a resort, right? Not agriculture.
That's correct. The greatest extent of agriculture around that area tends to be timber, but even then it's minimal compared to a lot of other places. And it's a lake in an area that's shared on one side by Nevada and the other side by California. It benefits somewhat because it's kind of in a bowl there between in the mountains, and it gets a lot more runoff than other places in California does. But it still has been suffering like the rest, and we've seen the lake subsiding a bit. What they're most concerned about is the fact that you've got so much dry timber up there. You have so much vegetation built up that hasn't burned off over the years. So you have a drought come in. You have high temperatures. And toward the end of the year, you get windy conditions. That makes it just ripe for a wildfire or two. And so they certainly want to stop any helping it any by having any campfires, open flames, things like that. Honestly, I'm a little surprised they're just getting around to announcing that now, because it's been dry enough that they should have probably announced that months ago.
You sent me a photograph, Jeff, earlier in the week of the Hoover Dam, and it doesn't look good. But why are they watching the Hoover Dam and the water behind it?
So what they're really looking at right now is you have Lake Mead, which is the big body of water that sits behind Hoover Dam. This Lake Mead and the Hoover Dam, they're about 24, 25 miles from Las Vegas, just to kind of give you a reference point. And this is a body of water that is not only used for recreational purposes and some agriculture, but it provides water to more than 20 million people throughout the Southwest and even in Mexico. And so you have water that runs off from, Utah and the Rockies and places like that. It builds up behind there. And it's important because that's a place like Hoover Dam where you have hydroelectric power created. And so if you don't have that ability to create the hydroelectric power, you can't pump more water, you can't fire up the lights in Vegas, you can't do a lot of things. This is a great big worry to the western states, so many of which count on that water source for their people.
Where are we in the worry time, Jeff? I mean, it's like a river rising, but in this instance, it's a reservoir sinking. What are we worried about?
That's right. So if you go from DEFCON 1 to DEFCON 5 being the worst, we're easily at DEFCON 4. It has dropped so low that they're concerned if it drops much more, the dam is not going to be able to push water. They're not going to be able to push water through the dam anymore. The hydroelectric is going to get shut down. So you only have about relatively speaking, a few more feet. I think it's maybe 175 feet more or so. But the problem is that water is going to be depleted quickly as things get hotter, as the summer and the drought go on.
And that would lead to the shin bone, the knee bone, the neck bone, and your brownouts in California, yes?
Exactly. This is something that will have a big ripple effect in so many areas. And, you know, people think, they joke around as it being, that's the source of the electricity for Vegas, that's all they have to worry about. But no, there's so much more besides, and right. Besides the jobs there, you're talking about, like I said, agriculture, manufacturing, residential areas, commercial, it's going to have a huge impact if that happens.
Jeff Bliss is Pacific Watch in the drought. CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Christina Lake Cannabis is using proprietary outdoor genetics to grow and harvest cannabis in Western Canada. And with a 99-acre expansion, production should increase from nearly 72,000 pounds to a harvest capacity of over 194,000 pounds of high-quality, refined cannabis to extract exceptional THC and CBD oils. This cannabis highlight has been brought to you by Christina Lake Cannabis, U.S. trading symbol CLCFF and in Canada CLC. ChristinaLakeCannabis.com.
The proceeding may contain forward-looking statements which may not be realized.